Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? Why stay here until we die?" Turn to your neighbor and just ask them, "What are you waiting for?" Now turn to your second choice neighbor. I'm going to need you to say it with a little more attitude. What are you waiting for? There you go. You may be seated. What are you waiting for? There's two things that I want to lift from the very beginning of this series that we usually hear this text preached one of two ways. They either go really, really heavy on the environment that the lepers were living in, which was a famine, the city of Samaria, or they bypass a lot of the famine and the environment to talk about the men's condition, which was leprosy. And so one of those on its own is terrible. You're living in a famine, and we're going to get into it. This famine was not, it hadn't rained for a couple days and was getting a little dry. They are doing crazy things because of famine. But then when you start talking about four men that had the disease called leprosy, and they're living in the famine, it's like the perfect storm of events. You know, the enemy would love to hit you with the perfect storm. You say, what's the perfect storm? The perfect storm is when your money's messed up and your family's messed up. Your job's messed up. Your health is messed up. It's everything coming together all at once. Because the devil knows, and this will preach good, and I wasn't even going to say this, but this will preach good this morning. The devil knows, this says a lot about your faith, that you've got enough faith as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ to handle one storm. He knows that on a good day, you might even be able to juggle a couple storms. But even the enemy knows that there are a lot of people that if I can hit them with everything at once, I can fill their boat with water and I can load their life up with the craziness and I can bring even the best one down. But I'm thankful, and Bishop preached about it earlier today, I'm thankful that we have heroes of faith like Job, because Job was a perfect man, the Bible says. And the perfect man will always outlive the perfect storm. Everything was taken away from Job, but because he had a relationship with Jehovah God, it didn't matter what was taken from him, because God was for him. And if God is for you, for us, who can be against us? So I want to talk to the believers today. We're coming out of pandemic. We're coming out of some crazy weather. We're coming out of some down times. But I'm telling you, we are coming out of them. But I do want to talk to a handful, a dozen or two today, that all hell is breaking loose. And the sun might be rising for someone else, but it still seems to be storming in your life. I am here to tell you, you've got the same God that Job had. You've got the same God that we preach in the Old Testament and the same Jesus from the New Testament. And if you can just keep paddling water, one day you're going to walk on water. You will get to the other side of your problem of whatever you are facing today. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm going to make it, and so are you." So the four lepers had a condition, and they were living in an environment that was not perfect. But I am here to tell you, the environment around you should not dictate the power inside you. The condition that you carry should not undo, override, or trump the anointing that is within you. But we are talking about, what are you waiting for? You've heard me preach a lot about it, and I am better than I used to be, but I am not as good as I want to be. Patience is a virtue that I have to work very hard on. Hurry up and wait is basically where we live in our culture. Everything is fast now, whether it's fast food, fast cars, fast internet. We all want things. We want immediate gratification, and we want those things to happen very quickly. And so the lepers are sitting at the gates, and behind them is a gate that is starving. In front of them is an army that would kill them. And they've got this condition. And so they've got the enemy in front of them, and they've got lack behind them, and they're stuck in the middle. Come on, somebody. And so they begin to talk to one another about what they're going to do. Out of the four, there is at least one voice of faith. Because we don't hear what the other three are saying, but I'm sure that as their ears are eaten off and as their noses begin to disappear and their fingers are beginning to disappear and that leprosy is beginning to ravage their bodies, I'm sure that there is a lot of negative talk going on. But there is one man that has enough faith. And I will always say, you will always have enough faith. The Bible says that you were born with a measure of faith. I said it in the first service, you will always have a seed to sow. And they might be stuck between lack and the enemy, but one man has enough faith to look at the other three. And he looks at the other three in their condition. He looks down at himself in his condition, and he says, are we just going to sit here until we die? Meaning this, if we're going to die anyway, let's go down swinging. If we're going to die anyway, let's go possess. If we're going to die anyway, there's nothing behind us. That's all lack. Let's go charge the enemy. Come on now. And when we show up at the enemy's camp, let's at least get us a nice meal before we die. Let us go have one last hurrah. Can I encourage you? Faith will cause you to rise up even when it doesn't make sense. And you've got to get that faith that the Hebrew boys had that said, hey, I know my God is going to deliver me, but even if he doesn't deliver me, he's still a good God. He is still a faithful God, and I would rather die standing than die sitting. I would rather die on the move. And when you get that kind of faith, the what are you waiting for question begins to be answered, because it's not waiting on perfect. You know that there are million-dollar businesses that were started in the middle of a pandemic. There are people that were promoted in the middle of a pandemic. There are people that chose the last 14 months of their life. They said, I'm not just going to survive. I'm going to thrive. I'm not just going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to flourish no matter what's going on around me. Why? Because I've got enough faith to say, God, I'm going to do this no matter what is going on around me. And if I die, I will die moving forward. But I refuse to sit here and wait for the perfect conditions. I refuse to sit here and wait for sunny skies. I refuse to sit here and wait for the perfect moment for me to strike, because I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting for perfect time, it is not going to happen. I've been talking to Chris and Heather a lot about their engagement, and I just told them, I said, please tell me you're not going to get engaged for 2 or 3 years. I personally don't believe in the 2-year engagement. I think a 2-year engagement, and if you're engaged for 2 years, please pardon me, but hear the truth that I'm about to say. If you are engaged for longer than a year, something needs to be said about that relationship. Because if a young man asks you to marry him and then says, we're not going to get married till 2024, in my mind, all he's done is put you on layaway to see if something better comes along, or to work on him. If he has to work on himself for 3 years to get himself in a position ready to be married, he's not worthy to be married to you, and you need to give him back the ring. You need to, Beyonce said, you better put a ring on it. You better take off the ring if you don't. Oh, come on now. And so I just gave this recommendation, and they had already made up their mind. They weren't having a long engagement. But I said, remember this. There's never a perfect time to get married. You're never going to have enough money. All the married folks say amen. You're never going, I love young married couples that say, we're going to wait to have kids. We're going to wait. We're going to save a little money. You ain't got enough time to save the amount of money to take one from 0 to 18. And if you're like me and Sean, it goes beyond 18. I'm still finagling free meals from Bishop and Pastor Becky. I'm still looking to them for some help every now and then. Kevin Green Jr., don't shout me down while I'm preaching. Some of us, come on. Your conditions. I'm going to talk to those of you at home. Hear my heart. There's never going to be a perfect time for you to come back to church. It's never going to be perfect. You just have to move in wisdom and faith and say, listen, if I can go to HEB and fight my way to the waters, I can go to church. If I can go to the movie theater, I can go to church. If I can send my kids to school, I can go to church. If I can get out there on the river walk, I can go to church. If I can go to my job, I can go to church. We've got 4,000 seats. We've got a balcony with just a few people. Come in the second song, leave when altar call starts, but I'm going to tell you, there's never going to be a perfect time to come back. So pray about it and come back as soon as you can. Are you going to sit there forever? Are you going to get up and say, I know my condition isn't right. I know my what I'm going through isn't right. I know I don't have the resources and it doesn't feel right. But even when it doesn't feel right, I'm going to move out anyway. I'm going to trust Jesus anyway. I'm going to stand on his promises anyway. I'm going to go forward in faith anyway. I'm going to believe the word of God anyway. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? There's an old saying. It says, good things come to those who wait. That's good, but I don't want good things. I want the best thing, but better than good things, I want God. And I've never received much from God, Brother Michael, just sitting here saying, God, said in Isaiah 40, those that wait on the Lord. The Bible says, come on now, be a student of the word. Study to show yourself approved. Dividing the word of God correctly. Waiting doesn't mean doing nothing. Waiting means, God, ooh, this is going to be good for somebody. I'll do my part while I'm waiting on you to show up and do what I cannot do. So while I'm waiting on the miracle, I'm going to keep worshiping. While I'm waiting on you to show up, I'm going to keep serving. While I'm waiting on you to work in him, I'm going to work on me, and I'm going to keep loving him. While I'm waiting on you to work in my children, I'm going to keep providing for my children, and I'm going to drag their tail to church 2 or 3 times a week. Why? Because while I wait on the Lord, and then we start talking about the wait staff. Come on. When you wait on the Lord, you are serving God. God, while I'm waiting for you to bring into me what I need, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to make sure that everything that you need from me, you get from me. That's why I'm going to give you all that you want from me. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They shall not be weary. They shall walk and will not faint. This declaration comes way after these four lepers have sat there, but they tapped into the word of God. Before the word was ever given to Isaiah to be pinned on a scroll that we would preach from in 2021, there was one leper that stood up and said, I believe that we can wait here and die, or I believe that when we wait on the Lord and move out when he tells us to, we will be strengthened, we will mount up, we will run, we will not grow tired, we will not grow weary, and we will reap what God has for us. What I'm saying is, good things come to those who wait. I changed it a few years ago because of the work ethic that has been instilled in me. Good things come to those who wait. Better things come to those who work. The Bible says, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. We work where the, Bible says take notice of the ant. There is something to be said about putting your hand to do something. The Bible makes a promise that whatever you touch, whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might. But whatever you touch, God will bless. And so I think better things come to those who work. So if you want good things, just sit down. And just by the coincidence of life, something good will happen. If you sit down today, the sun will set and the sun will rise tomorrow. The sun rising is a good thing. That's a good thing. It's going to happen anyway. Any good thing that you want in your life, it's going to happen eventually. But I want better things, so I'll work for them. But I love Matthew 11:12. He says, all right, you've talked about good, you've talked about better. Let's talk about best. Let's talk about God. If good things come to those who wait, better things come to those who work, the best things come to those who take it by force. The Bible said from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. Now, please understand me. That is not the violence that we've been seeing around our country and people doing all of these acts and all of these things trying to get their point across. And I understand that there's hurt and I understand all of those things. But when we talk about violence, we are talking about the enemy's camp. We are talking about spiritual matters. Anything you need in the physical can be met through the spiritual. That's why we don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities of darkness. That's why my prayer is stronger than my punch. Come on, I'm going to say it again. My prayer is stronger than my punch. My praise is stronger than my punch. Why? Because I'm taking things over from the enemy. I'm storming the gates of hell. Those gates will not prevail against me. And so I'm not waiting for the God things. I'm not hoping for the good things. God said, whatever you want, man of God, whatever you want, woman of God, you just reach out and take it in authority. Somebody turn around to your neighbor and tell them, take it. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that serve God. But how do we take it by force? One word, faith. There was a great famine in Samaria. We hear about the famine in the preceding chapter, chapter 6. That word famine in the Hebrew means there's a hunger, starvation, scarcity. It simply means there is a lack, that you do not have what you need. This is where I think we have to really understand what faith does. The Bible says that he will give us a life. Jesus gives us life that is what? Abundant. Abundant is more than you need. I had a very lively discussion with a friend of mine one time when he was taking to task prosperity gospel. He said, do you think everybody, every believer is supposed to be a millionaire? I said, I'm not going to say that. I'm saying every believer could. But when I say prosperity, I'm not talking about bigger houses and nice cars only. What I'm talking about is that you have more than you need. And see, what faith does is it moves us from the place of living with just enough. Most people live in famine, meaning they don't have enough. You say most people? Most people. Whoever has a credit card with debt is living in lack, unless you can pay off that all that credit card debt today. Most people live in lack. So we are not even living to just get by. We don't have enough to do everything that we're supposed to do. And most of what we don't have enough money to do is things that we put on ourselves. New cars, new clothes, new Gucci, new shoes, new homes, a third car, a driving car, and a sitting car. So we've done all of this to get all this stuff we want. And then when God says, I need you to send $1,000 to an orphanage, I need you to send $500 to dig a well to bring fresh water to this village overseas, now we can't do what God has called us to do because we are living in a place of famine and not enough. And then we say things like, God, when I get out of debt, I'll be able to do more for you. So God, I'm going to ask that you help me get out of debt. God will always help you get out of whatever, but I'm here to tell you, we should be ashamed of ourselves for continually asking God to get us out of situations that we put ourselves in. The famine's there, and there's a lack going on, and God's saying, now people, You're Jehovah people. You're Jehovah Jireh provision people. And now you're living in a place of lack. You say, well, everybody was going through the famine, but you don't have to participate in what everybody else is going through. Well, all of my family's had cancer. You don't have to participate. Well, my dad and my granddad died of heart disease. You don't have to participate. Well, we've come from a long line of drug abuse and alcohol abuse. You don't have to participate. Well, all my family's Catholic and we were raised in this denomination. You don't have to participate. The day you said yes to Jesus, you were regened. You were washed in the blood of Christ. You are a new creation. Old things, every old thing is passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Christ Jesus. Jesse Duplantis said it. Give me a couple more minutes. He said it many years ago, right here in this building, and it was during the downturn of the economy in 2008 and 2009 when the floor of the economy fell out. He just came and he said, people asking me, Jesse, how you doing? Man, it's hard. We're in a recession. We're on the verge of another depression. And this is what Jesse said. He said, I choose not to participate. You know what I hate? Chain email. Where they get your email and then they just start sending you deals. But there's a little button at the bottom of that email that says unsubscribe. Meaning I don't want to hear from you again. I don't want to see it again. Can I encourage you? A lot of us have been reading the devil's emails. A lot of us have been reading the world's emails. Can I encourage you before you leave today, you better unsubscribe from all that mess and say, nope, I don't want to hear that anymore. Nope, I don't want to see that anymore. Nope, I don't want to be a part of that anymore. Why? Because right now I'm stuck between lack and I'm stuck between the enemy. But oh, I feel like God is causing me to rise up. Like we sang, I feel like something is about to break. I unsubscribe from everything the enemy has tried to place on me. And I remember that there's a God that loves me enough to save me. So he sure loves me enough to heal me and to put my life back together. That famine, Pastor Baker, if you'll come, famine means lacking physical necessity. But it could also mean lacking spiritual gift. It could mean lacking the right relationship. It could mean lacking financial necessity. If you don't have enough of something good, then you're going to need the God of the universe to step in and do what only he can do. And I am here to tell you, I hope that we are going to see bright days in the United States of America. I hope 2021 is the greatest year that this country has ever seen. But I am here to tell you that I am blessed whether we are blessed as a nation or not. I will be okay whether we as a nation are okay or not. Doesn't matter who's in the White House. It matters who sits on the throne of my heart. The last guy didn't do it for me. This guy won't do it for me. I am here to declare to you, we might live in Samaria. We might see some tough times in our nation. But I'm here to tell you, it's time for the church to rise up. What are we waiting for? Are you waiting for the next 9/11? Are you waiting for the next Hurricane Katrina? Are you waiting for the next pandemic? Are you saying, God, I'm not waiting for anything. I'm going to be what you've called me to be in 2021, no matter what. Stand on your feet. I'm going to tell you something that I love, and it's fresh in my mind because he was just here. One of the things that I love about Jesse Duplantis coming to Living Way has nothing to do with what he says here, although I love it. And a lot of things he said last week just been, I mean, I've been marinating on all week. But about, I guess, 3 years ago, because he's been coming 15 years, 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know why, but I was tasked with picking him up from the airport. Usually, if I can be honest, sorry to all of my friends or peers watching this, I hate that task. Because there's a lot of divas and devos. Devos are man divas. I had one guy I picked up from the airport, wanted me to take him to La Cantera so he could buy new clothes. Then he had me take him to get a manicure and a pedicure. You know what your boy did? I took him Got him the manicure. Got him the pedicure. You'll probably never see him here again. Because that's not what it's about. It's about those that have leprosy that are trying to get well and right. It's about those that are living in lack that are trying to get more joy, more peace, more power. But I love Dr. Jesse because he's the same here as he is in the car. But in that car, it's just me and him talking one-on-one. He asked me on the way back to the airport 1 week ago today, he said, what do you think about this world? And I said, Brother Jesse, I said, well, I'm a man of faith. Come from a family in a church of faith. Grew up watching people like you. I've been surrounded by faith. I'm not worried at all. And he just laughed. He said, oh, he goes, that's why your family, your church, you're my kind of people. He said, you know, Brandon, they say that diesel's going to go to $10 a gallon. He said, what are you going to do then? I said, I'm going to keep driving my truck, and I'm going to make more money, and God's going to take care of me. I'm not going to downsize. I fill my truck up every 4 days. It cost $48 a year ago. Yesterday, it cost $90 every 4 days. What does that mean? God, you just got to take care of. I'm not walking. I'm not riding the bus. I'm not getting a bicycle. I'm not getting a moped. I'm not going to get a hybrid. That's Mandy's deal. I'm driving a Ford F-250 diesel truck. I might drive extra. Brother Vail, you got the same truck I do. I might drive extra just to punch the devil, kick him in the teeth. Then Jesse said, there's a chance we might be paying a lot more taxes. He said, what are you going to do? I said, oh, Brother Jesse, I'm going to make more money. If I got to pay more tax, I'll just make more money. He said, oh, you're my kind of people, and just laughed. He said, that's what I believe. Doesn't mean we're naive to what's going on. It just means that I can live in the hand of God in Samaria. I can live in the hand of God and be surrounded by lack. I'd rather have leprosy in the hand of God than be whole outside of the hand of God, because I know he's going to heal me. I want to just ask this question. The altar's opening in 15 seconds. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to get your kids right with God? What are you waiting for to start serving? What are you waiting for to step out in faith? What are you waiting for to be healed? What are you waiting for to receive the Holy Ghost? You might be like that 14-year-old girl last night. What are you? I'm here to tell you, I don't even have to hear while you're waiting to tell you to quit waiting. Stop waiting. Start walking. Start doing. I want to open this altar for those of you that are tired of waiting.